The following program was produced by an independent community producer. The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of the ECAT staff or board of directors.
There's a girl, she's a star. She's got style, Steffi Star. You see her face around the town. She's popular, Steffi Star.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Weinstein.
And I'm Meredith Keach.
This is the show.
We're coming in hot today, folks. Yeah. Coming in hot.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on right now. But I'm
so
just
Sherry,
trying to
we've
deal.
Got cameras here and here, just so you know, if you're wondering like why we're going like this.
Oh, okay.
For the visual. And here.
You want me to read right now?
Well, you can do both. Anyway, it's a rainy day here in New England. Again, we've had rain for years, it feels like. My voice is crackly. All anybody wants to do is just take to the bed.
Yes.
Which is a perfect segue because we are here with Sherry Crowley, who is a licensed therapist.
Hi, Sherry.
That we're all going to need. And
I need it right now. Now I need it now, Sherry.
I mean, your timing on the show couldn't be more perfect with the two of us and what we have going on in our lives. Oh, and it feels like with the stars and the moons and there's an eclipse coming and it's been raining for months and we all just want to take to the bed. So anyway, Sherry, tell us about your company that you've started. And I know the background, but also tell us why you started it and what brings you here today.
To help worldwide, our worldwide award-winning podcast.
And actually, I'm so happy to be here because when I met you both, I guess it was probably 6 months ago, maybe.
Yep.
Anyway, it was so fun. And you remind me, I don't know, just there's something about you that reminds me of my family and my just growing up. I don't know, something. I just adored you.
Oh, thank you.
Well, we're meant to be here together.
We're meant to be. So
exciting.
So I am a licensed therapist, and I have a private practice. I'm based in Newton, but I do telehealth, and I do walk and talk sessions for people. You know, we walk and talk.
I do that with my girlfriend.
Yeah, I know.
We both see it as therapy.
Exactly. But there's something different, too, about the side-by-side. It's not so intense versus like Zoom, you know, I do a Zoom therapy and you're on the screen staring at somebody. So it's really nice. It's nice for me too because I like to walk and be outside and not sitting in a chair all the time. So but I also have I recently started, like, it just opened officially a month ago, a wellness concierge business, which is kind of, so the therapy business is its own thing, and I've done that for 18 years. I used to work in university mental health, and I had a private practice 10 years ago. Then I had kids and closed it and was working in university student mental health. And then in January, I reopened the private practice part-time. And then in January, it's now full-time. But I also in January started and then just officially opened in March this wellness concierge business, which is basically like a handheld curated Angie's List. Are you familiar with Angie?
Yep, of course.
Yep.
So I help people get connected to any kind of service provider that they're looking for. Therapists. It started with therapists, pregnancy and postpartum professionals, and nutritionists, dietitians, PT, fitness professionals, but also, you were just talking off the air about your dad, like connecting people to like geriatric care case managers and substance use addictions professionals and any kind of people, real estate people, any kind of hairdressers, people that you'd want to, sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm a spastic. so people to get connected. And I do all of the back work, all of the calling around, following up because people don't call back.
Right.
Finding out who has openings and then getting you connected, and then helping you figure out your insurance benefits or your out-of-network insurance benefits. I do all the exhaust. Like when people are looking for these professionals or for service people, they're really generally at a point in life where they're overwhelmed and that they need these people. Mm-hmm. So I do all the back work, all the exhausting parts that you don't really have the energy to do when you're looking for these people. And then I just, in a very handheld, like direct connect way, say, you know, connect you usually via email to this person who has openings and is ready to schedule with you. So
it sounds absolutely incredible.
I mean,
sign me up.
Right.
So, you basically sound like a real estate agent for healthcare.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of it's similar to exactly like you find the framework, map it out.
Right. You have the contacts, you have people.
Yes.
This is your next step. This is what you do. This is how you do it. You counsel, educate. For us, we negotiate, but you probably negotiate to some degree on behalf of our clients, right?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, in terms of service providers, it's not price as much, but availability, time,
right.
Yes.
Logistics,
exactly.
Talking people off a ledge.
Yes, and that's the other part is that I offer with it, depending on, of course, what people are looking for. If they're looking for a therapist, then maybe not as much, but I also offer like one-off support sessions, which is essentially like therapy, but not fully, more like coaching, just general support.
Yeah.
Let's say you have a young person that just had a baby and they're going to a pelvic floor therapist and I get them connected. There's like a lot of emotional pieces that go along with that and all the postpartum stuff, but maybe not everybody. I'm actually a therapist who doesn't believe in long-term talk therapy as the solution for everybody.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
And I'm not a therapist.
I actually think long-term talk there has to be something.
I feel like
else.
It makes it worse.
For a lot of people, it does, especially right? Obsessive people.
Yeah.
Like they leave feeling worse just from talking. There has to be some kind of, in my opinion, body-based, there has to be something else along with it. Usually body-based things, whether that's meditation or nervous system work or exercise or there's, you know, trauma work, things that you got to clear shit out. And is it okay? Okay. And
I love smearing.
Me too. I don't even hear it. It's like an adjective.
Right. I love the central nervous stuff.
You have to clear stuff out.
You have to clear stuff out for any of the other stuff. So therapy-wise, sorry to go on the sidetrack, you have to clear this stuff out in order for any, like affirmations, right? You read about affirmations. I don't know if you guys remember like Stuart Smalley and all that shit.
Of course I do.
I'm good enough. And Louise Hay I love Louise Hay, but she even says actually like, if you don't
believe it,
if you don't believe it at your core, none of those, you can tell yourself you're the best and beautiful and lovely all day, but if you don't believe it in your core, it doesn't stick. And so you have to do all these body-based stuff for any of the other stuff to stick. And so long story short, I think that's why long-term talk therapy, you're talking, a lot of people either feel like they leave feeling worse or like 20 years later, they're still talking about their mother.
Right.
And it's not,
I personally feel like, and I'm no therapist, but I personally feel like when you talk about something, you're just giving it more energy and more energy, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
A lot of-
Whereas if you don't talk about it, maybe it'll just go away.
Maybe sometimes. But I do think there's something to that, though. I don't know for everything if that's true.
Right.
I think there are some things you do have to
talk about.
Acknowledge.
Well, don't you think it's too sort of recognizing when you're talking ad nauseum about something?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I definitely need to talk things out to organize and frame, especially things that just aren't making sense to me or things in life, you know, when you group them together and say, like, I have all these things in my life right now. which none of them are really making sense. And you can kind of talk it through and figure it out. And then you can just keep talking about it and keep talking right. about it. And then it becomes a negative energy that you realize you're just dwelling on.
Yes.
But I think you can talk things out. I mean, we do it with work all the time.
We do, but we don't talk about it for month after month, year after year, the same thing.
Correct.
Right.
Agreed.
So we talk about our problems, right? We work it out.
To a solution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We find the solution, then we move on to the next problem.
And I think even with personal stuff,
right?
The two of us recognize, at least talking to each other, you kind of shut the person off if they're talking about it too much. And then the other person can recognize, right? Like, I recognize, jeez, I'm talking about this too much.
And that's a
And I need
friend.
To just put it away, right?
Exactly.
You need to just package it up and put it away.
And you do that. You're so good with me with that, too. You're like, why are you dwelling on that?
Yeah.
Why are you talking about it?
Don't give it life.
Right.
Don't give it legs.
I love that.
And I'm like, you're right. Next.
Yeah. But it would be kind of nice to have someone on speed dial to call and work through things all the time. I mean, we use our friends like that, right?
Right.
At least women do.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And then sometimes our friends don't want to listen to us anymore.
Right.
And so that's where Sherry comes in.
Yeah. So I do. So I in the concierge business, I don't know why I keep doing air quotes.
They're fine.
Oh my God, I love an air quote.
It's a good air quote, right? Who doesn't love a good air quote?
And you like talking with your hands, so it works.
Right. Yeah. We had to move Sherry's microphone back. She kept knocking it over.
At least she's not Matt Catalano, who is back here. We had another guest who just loved like being in his lazy boy.
We never know how the guests are going to react.
That's hilarious.
Okay, so you have a concierge business. So tell us how the framework of your business works. And I'm someone, let's say I've got
a whole host of issues.
Yeah, or I have a sick I have a sick kid, let's say. And I just need help navigating the system. So how do I hire you? How does it work?
So we meet, you can book directly, email, call, or I have online booking. We meet for about 45 minutes to an hour. I call it a triage session. I ask you a ton of questions, all kinds about obviously about the situation itself, about your kid in this case, but also about just kind of a whole host of your life. You know, nothing happens in a silo, so. Social factors, biological factors, you know, psychological factors. Find out ask a lot of questions. Try to help you sort through if you have any ideas of what you've already been told, what you think yourself, and try to help you either figure out what direction to start or directions to start. And then we hang up. I call around to my network, do all of that, find out who has openings, only people who fit with what you're looking for. And I also think it adds, probably similar to real estate, like I know who might be a good fit based on our conversation, personality wise, at least a little bit. And then I directly connect you to that person. On the backside, I work with that person to find out when their availabilities are. I come back to you. These are the openings they have. You'll have to directly speak to them to schedule because they won't schedule somebody for an appointment without speaking to them. And then you go on about your way and do that. And then if you want any, you know, extra of these kind of support sessions throughout time, you can get a package of 1, 3, 5 ongoing as much as you want. And they don't expire. So you can call up.
So you're their guide.
Yeah.
But you also can mentally help them as well.
Exactly.
Boy, I can tell you the geriatric world is, you know, we all have aging parents now and we have no idea how to navigate any of this. Anything of what's going on, you know, just with paperwork and wills and trusts and who we're supposed to call and the assisted living situation is a whole other animal in itself.
How did you find
my sister? Thankfully, she basically since 2020, she's at her kitchen table every day. She is
making phone calls.
For the past 4 years.
Yeah, we've just had all kinds of aides in for my dad, and we've brought assisted living into him. But now it's a time he was getting lonely, even though we had all these people coming in. So now we're making the transition into assisted living. But then there's so much more you have to do with assisted living. And I was supposed to have a FaceTime call today, which never came in. And now we have everything all settled with movers and clean out people. And now we don't know if he's going to be able to move in because I didn't get my phone call today. And now it's pushing everything back. It's like unbelievable. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's so stressful.
But literally, if she had a job, I don't know what she would have done. You know, luckily she's not working right now, but this has been taking her every day, like a full day. So that is so helpful that that's something that people can call you to do because I personally would never have been able to do this ever. I would have absolutely had to hire someone.
You know, you're the second person I've spoken to this week about this exact, like, aging parent, as you said. I mean,
because we don't know what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we've never been in this situation before, right? And then who knew my mother was going to pass away, right? So that just put a whole other layer into everything. So I literally just talked to my sister yesterday about this, and she said, yeah, you would have had to hire someone.
Yeah,
not with my job. I never
but
would have
been
able
to do
this. Well, that's right. I have no idea.
That's
where
I'd connect you.
Yeah. And that's right. So this is perfect that Sherry's doing this because now I can just say, call Sherry.
Yeah.
You can't do this on your own. No. It's too much to navigate.
That's exactly right. The other person who I was speaking to this week, his dad's in California.
Yeah.
And so
my dad's in Florida.
Oh, okay. So you're same thing. Yeah. You're trying to do it. Is your sister local?
She's in Massachusetts too.
Yeah. So you're doing it like long distance.
Yeah. And he doesn't want to come home. For those of you who think I'm a rotten daughter,
no.
He does not want to move back to Massachusetts. He wants to stay with the palm trees.
Where in Florida?
In Boynton Beach.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I think all the East Coasters go down to the East Coast.
Oh, yeah. We only do East Coast.
Delray, Boy, and Boca.
Yeah, exactly. That's where all my people are.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So he does want to come home, so that's fine. So we did find him a beautiful place, but we had put him into another place, and they basically never opened. And we had all the furniture moved in. So now we had to coordinate a furniture company to move all his furniture out of that place, bring it to this place, and that's where we are today.
What do you mean they never opened?
They kept saying, we're going to open next month.
They were new construction.
We're going to open in 2 months. And I guess in Florida, it's really hard to get permits right now. And
that's chaotic.
And they're at the mercy of the state of Florida. And they come whenever they want. They don't care. And so, luckily, my sister was able to find another place. But again, I wouldn't have been able to do all this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would be able to connect you to, or someone in your situation to.
Because you don't know these places who have openings. A lot of them, some of them have waiting lists. And so, and you don't want to put them into a crappy one.
Yeah. That's scary. It's scary.
Right.
Too.
So that's big money for you, Sherry. Big money. Because I'm telling all my friends to call you.
And so do people pay you out of pocket? You know, how does that piece work?
Oh, yeah. So like the triage session is just a flat fee. It's $250. And then I connect you to, say, there are people who like specialize in geriatric case care management, which is exactly this.
Right. But I wouldn't even know who that is.
Right. And
right.
So I connect you to them and they have their own fees. So, my fees are just out of pocket, $250 to the triage and $200 for the support sessions, an hour. And then, you know, if you buy packages of these support sessions, it's a little less. But the pay, it's all online, out of pocket.
Incredible. I feel like there's so many things in life that I would like this for. So what's your title?
So I call it wellness concierge. I'm
so
not sure
you're
if that's an appropriate
wellness concierge.
I suppose so. I haven't
we need
really
to give you a title
give me
today.
Help me find a title because this is new and you know, there's other concierge businesses around, like regular, like concierge stuff. Go pick up laundry or help you sort things. All kinds of stuff that concierge get you. connected to restaurants or whatever. Right. But I haven't seen this. At least I've scoured to look. I haven't seen any. I see people doing pieces of this. Like there's people who do this specifically for getting. I just know this one is one that I've I'm familiar with because I have a friend who does it in Florida. She helps people specifically getting their kids into substance abuse treatment, which is very, very specific. But, you know, and so everything around that, she's like a concierge, getting them connected, getting the transport, getting helping figure out insurance. But in terms of like, hey, I'll get you connected to any services you need. I don't know of that. So I don't know of like a title.
It's brilliant.
Like even like the college applications.
How about I want to have a podcast?
Right. Like,
find us a podcast expert.
How about I want to become an investor?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever it is, I need to buy a car. How do I do it? Right. Yeah. How do I get all the pieces together?
Yeah.
And have the time for it.
Yes.
I mean, it's such a win to be able to have someone advise you on the steps and not have to, you know, and your case, Steph, it's life and death decisions that you're making, right? So the weight of what you're doing can literally impact your dad's health and life. And so you don't take it lightly. In where you're saying that Nancy did all of this end of the work, you also take 700 phone calls from him a day and bear that piece of it.
Right.
Right? You're able to tag team and to be able to have someone like you, Sherry, to just advise, okay, this is who you can talk to next.
Yes.
Or, let me think about this for a minute. Okay, this is the step that you're going to take.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because like Nancy, we had to find out clean out people in Florida.
Which, by the way, I just listened to your episode with the decluttering person.
Oh, yes.
That's our most popular.
Allison Roswell. Awesome. Yes. Yes.
That's our most popular.
Right? Eve, she even gave away something her mother gave her.
Yeah.
That girl.
That was impressive. Tough.
Yes.
Yes. She's good. I don't want her coming in my closet right now.
But we do need to have her on again because people love what she had to say. She's one of our people now.
Yeah.
Right. Right? She's one of our people. Yeah. I have a client who, he was burdened by a house full of belongings that he had massive emotional attachment to. Understandably, a long life in a house. And I will say this person exists. And if we have one of them, we've got 50 individuals just like him. And he employed a woman who has helped him from my vantage point. I told her this was a calling for her because the amount of work that she's put in, and she might not even be aware of it, but from our vantage point, as we see folks in a house completely burdened with personal effects. And I say burdened because it is an emotional attachment for a lot of those pieces. And particularly if you haven't necessarily chosen to say, I'm going to move out of my house and I'm so excited for new beginnings. And I've always wanted to live here, right? Actually, for people, for the majority of people, if you have a couple that are together moving,
yeah,
one spouse might be that way and the other one isn't so much. And they're going along for the ride. Right. So all of this, it's just a huge piece. And so this woman is now part of our people. That's right.
Awesome.
And so, you know, here you're able to collect these people. I'm curious how you vet them.
Yes.
And how you keep them on your roster. Because you never know if it's going to be. I advise based on personal experience.
Right.
Right. And I don't usually give personal recommendations unless I've actually used someone or have watched the work that they've done.
Yes.
Because we've all been burned. So talk to me about how you vet people and how you add them to your list.
So this is actually a great question because this is what I thought of this idea. I started working on it back in September. And by the way, this all stemmed from I got a few years ago, I had a very bad bout of a burnout. I got incredibly burnt out in the middle of COVID, et cetera. I was like very unpresent for my family and my kids and working not till like all hours. And
so this was burnout in your work
world? This was burnout in my work world, and it kind of pervaded. I was working in university during when COVID started, and my role there was similar to this, triage, crisis, walk-in in their mental health center. And I was the only one in that role. My supervisor was in that role, but she had a personal thing right in the beginning of the September of 2020, when that's the busiest time of the semester. Right. And so I was there by myself, and I was getting like 40 phone calls literally a day. And I was the one to, and I just couldn't keep
like
up.
Like panic calls, like someone I need help with
anything
something?
Anything from panic to like, I just broke up with my boyfriend, I want to talk to somebody. But I was the central point of triage of like for any students who wanted to use this service. So, and it had gone up in COVID from like 20% utilization to 40%. And it was just like bad, it was timing. But, and the university I was working in was like very, the whole culture of the entire university is like work more, do more.
Nobody cares, work harder.
Yes, and that pervaded into the mental health and counseling center and like administration. And I had amazing colleagues and my supervisor, great people, but the culture of that, just like self-care, which is seems back beyond bubble baths, but like boundaries around your time and like taking, that's the biggest self-care thing, I think, in those in work situations. That didn't apply, and I didn't have good boundaries myself around my time. And anyway, there came to be a point where I was supposed to give a lecture to one of the I was supposed to speak to one of the graduate dorms about stress management, and I couldn't manage my own stress, and I was like, how the fuck am I going to talk to these people about, I was like crying, and I took a leave. And in the midst of all of this, I had all these digestive issues, and I had all these, like, I was just a rat. I was a hot mess. And
been there.
Yeah.
Still am.
And I just trying to figure out like what I needed, you know, like I at some point I like got this health coach, and got, as you said, we've all gotten burned. I like, he told me, oh, we're going to meet weekly and we're going to do this, that, and the other thing. And I gave him my money and never heard from him again. So that's, I'm really got off track here. Excuse my ADD.
No, you're getting it. I'm on your program.
So the vetting is really important. And I built a database of people doing from all from networking, but I individually meet every person who I refer to. Like, there's people on the database I don't know yet. I won't refer to them because, like you said, I don't know them. And I'm talking to people maybe. The majority of people are people referred to me from other people, like in building the database over the past 6 to 8 months. I started with people that I have known just from either working with, referring to in the past, people referring them to me. And then I say, who are the top two people you refer to for X, Y, for any therapists, or though that's just the start. But, and then I try to meet those people. And so it's not a perfect system. I'm trying to get the top, I have kind of a list of top people I refer to, and I'm hoping over time that I can build this up to where I have enough clients to refer that I can say, you know, Stephanie, can you save a spot here, you know, save at least one spot a month or one spot every few weeks for me, for my clients. But I'm not there yet. I mean, this is all new, but I directly meet or have worked with everyone, and I have my top people.
Well, now you can add two real estate agents to your list.
Yes.
People call you in a panic. I hate my house. I want to get out of here. You say, oh, I have the perfect two women.
Yes.
they can deal with all of your roller coaster of emotions.
Yes, well, I imagine because that's what we do.
I would think that you're basically therapists of sorts in your. Oh. I mean, I.
Oh yeah.
What, well, I try not to be.
Oh, that's smart.
I right. I mean, we. I am going through it right now, and yeah. with somebody, and I just pretty much let her send me long texts, and I just say that must be so hard.
Well, that's good. That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, I'm, acknowledging.
Right. right? I'm yeah. so Validate. Sorry. Yeah. Hard pill to swallow.
Yeah. yeah.
I just, you know, give her kind of. So she knows I'm there and I'm reading it,
yeah.
but I don't
get into it.
I can't.
No.
Well, that's smart.
Because that's our job is actually to not be emotionally involved.
Oh, that makes sense.
And you have to learn that early on.
Yeah.
Because every scenario, people do want you to a certain degree be somewhat emotionally involved. But they've hired you to get them from point A to point B.
Right, and keep
and,
it moving.
And no not intended. Being, right, not going down those rabbit holes, but acknowledging, because we're human beings, right? You could handle a divorce situation.
Do you get a lot of that?
Well, for some reason, people think I'm a specialist in those.
Oh, that specializes I am not, in nasty divorces. If you in think you're going to be having a nasty divorce, call Meredith K. Keats.
It is not my specialty.
I like dealing with happy people.
But that ability to remain impartial is incredibly important. But going back to what you were saying, how you vet people, the whole time I was thinking, how would you scale this, right? Okay, so a big provider sees the merits of what you're doing and it's incredible, it's ingenious, but I don't think it's something you can scale.
That's, I've actually, it's interesting you bring this up. I've been trying to figure that out as well, which is part of the reason I'm still doing
therapy
practice right. on the side. Not on the side, I mean, but that's part of the reason because I haven't yet figured out how to scale it and if it's even scalable.
Well, I think that it's scalable in a sense if you look at the model of real estate agents, for example, right? We are boots on the ground. Now, what Stephanie and I have done is we've created a team of us, a group. It's basically a friend group that work together. We help each other. If someone goes away, you can cover for them. We communicate with each other about properties. We sell each other's properties. We work together as a group. But I think when you start to think about it in a sense, like, let's say this big company came in and bought your business.
Right.
The pitfall that's going to have is they're going to hire people, unless it was sort of like a 1099, you know, people who are independent contractors like we are.
Yeah.
They're just not going to care. Right. I just don't think that they would. I think it would be like calling, you know, a big outfit and just looking for a loan officer and getting, you know, partnering with someone that just doesn't care. You have to be put with someone who is invested.
True. In and people.
In people and yeah. in what they do and that they genuinely care. Otherwise, you're just not going to get that quality experience. You think?
100%. Yeah. I was thinking about, like, could I, if this grows enough, you know, can I grow it enough? And then at that point, you know, could I connect with HR and EAP provide, like go to some company, I guess a small business or medium, small to medium business that doesn't have. So the big companies, they have their own, like Fortune 500 companies have, like, for instance, there's a thing called Spring Health, and they partner with Microsoft and Moderna and Target, I think, is coming. And they have their own employee assistance program, which includes, like, therapists you can contract, therapists contract them, coaches contract with them, and their employees see these people for free, but they're paying them as 1099
yep.
contractors. But then they also, like, at some point, offer referrals for things. So I don't think a company like that would, I think that's exactly what you're saying. Like, someone, if they say they bought me at some point, my company at some point, my wellness, Well Connect concierge, they would probably, it would be, okay, now I have a gazillion people who don't really necessarily care.
Yeah.
But I thought maybe small or medium, smaller size companies, like if they partnering with them, that they have one or two human resources people and their employees need whatever service. And they usually, their human resources people usually hand them a referral. Just hand them a list. Here, go call these people. I thought maybe I could partner with some of those and, you know, for some kind of monthly membership fee, and X amount of their employees can use like me as right. or something like that. But I don't know. I mean, I think you're bringing up a huge, great question.
Well, it's interesting.
That
so a friend of mine just took a big job with Noom. And they're expanding into healthcare, and that was what she brings to the table is the healthcare component of it. And so I feel like you're right on the precipice of change with this whole problem. I mean, really, people would come to you and say, you know, I have a problem and I need you to help me figure out how do I figure this out.
Right. What steps do I take?
And what steps do I take? How do I get there? Let's go back to burnout, though.
Okay, yeah.
Because
that's always,
who's not?
Is that a crystal?
Yes. I think my grandmother gave it. Speaking of stuff to clean. Yeah. My grandmother gave it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's cool.
It looks like the pieces that were in Jurassic Park. Do you know they had the mosquito? It's like amber or something.
Yes.
So cool.
That's hilarious.
So burnout. So you were burned out. You were done, just smoked emotionally, physically, mentally. And now from your vantage point, how do you help people, or what is your advice to avoid, recognize, and maintain health and so that you don't burn out?
Yes, that's a very good question. I think about a lot because I actually... this is one of the areas I work with a lot of people in therapy also, is there's kind of a few key pillars that I suggest people use. And from my experience these are what I have been using and used to heal and recover. And I do feel like 1,000 times better. I don't feel this way anymore. So number one thing, it's like the simplest thing, but is sleep, is because nothing, if you don't get enough sleep, and I'm not saying you have to be like rigid 8 hours, but you know, if you do your best to get 7 to 8 hours, that without the sleep, everything, it's very hard to heal anything. Or to even manage. Yeah,
please.
I just bought a grounding sheet.
Oh, I don't know of that. What is that?
Yes.
It plugs in because your body is electric and we don't ground enough. We don't stand on the grass.
True.
Right? We don't connect with the earth enough. And so I bought this grounding sheet.
So for frame of reference, there's a school of thought that if you go outside without your shoes on, stand on earth, not on your patio, but just that it's like a salt lamp theory of like ions and all that type of stuff.
Something with the electrical currents. I don't know. I can't explain it because I don't know. But it's been amazing.
Oh, you've noticed a difference.
Huge.
When did you start?
I started a few days ago. I was always up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And now I am not.
I need to insert something here.
Well, it's like the time when I took half.
With a star.
Nope. It's like the time when I took half a Zanny. When I took half the Zanny, I had the best sleep ever.
Of course.
And I haven't had a great, like, that kind of a sleep since Meredith said I'm not allowed to take Zannies every day. So now I have moved on to the grounding sheet. You may say, and you may laugh, but I encourage all you listeners to go Google the grounding sheet. It's a fitted sheet, and you I've plugged in and I'm telling you, it might be life changing.
I need to add the caveat that Stephanie and I fall victim to every as seen on TV.
I love it.
And then we check in with each other to see
how's it going.
How's it going? And off the bat, it always works incredibly well. We think it has revolutionized our lives until like a week or two go by and we recognize that. That too, we might need the clutter buster for because it is part of it. But sleep, okay, so going on sleep, I am with you 100%.
Yes.
I am
Because when I have a good sleep, I wake up so happy.
Yeah.
My God, it really is life changing when you have a good night's sleep.
Or a nap.
I am clear.
A nap. Naps work. Life is better after, and for me, if I need a nap, life is better after the nap.
You know what's weird? I don't need to nap anymore. Not just from the grounding sheet. I'm talking like in the past year, I used to be so tired. Mm. And for whatever reason, I don't need a nap anymore.
I'm a napper.
I was always a napper my whole life. Oh, I came from a long line of nappers.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason this past year, no napping. But yes, when I have a good night's sleep, I can take on the world.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've noticed as I'm like in middle age, I used to, in my 20s, I'm 45, in my 20s, I'm 46, I don't know how old I am.
It doesn't matter, right?
I'm young at heart. Yeah. In my 20s, I would go, I'm not saying this is the way to go, but it was what I did. I'd get 4 to 5 hours of sleep a night for probably 2 weeks at a time. And then one day I'd pass out, I'd sleep 15 hours, and I'd be up and good to go again for
another couple of weeks.
Yeah. Now, if I don't get enough sleep, I'm like an emotional mess. I'm like emotional. I'm sensitive. I'm irritable. It's very noticeable and unappreciated by my family.
Yeah.
So but number one, go to bed early.
Go to bed. Well.
Well, you can't, because then you can wake up.
Yeah.
If you go to bed at 8, you're going to wake up at midnight and then you're up for hours. Yes. So you can't do that
either. It is elusive. Science shows us that as you get older, you don't get as much REM sleep. And so therefore it's the older and older we get, it's more and more elusive. But find your way.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't happen.
Do you have a noise lamp? Brooke Imbernoni, she says she has the best sleep of anyone in her entire house. Everybody's up all night. Not her. She's in a dead sleep. So she has the eye mask.
Yep.
She has the earplugs.
Yep.
And then she has the white noise van.
I've never been. You like the white noise?
Well, I don't have one, but I might add it to my repertoire.
People.
So generally speaking, I don't like white noise anyway. It feels to me like somebody's tapping me on the shoulder.
I have that too. Yeah, it just feels like.
She said she's in a dead sleep the entire night.
Yeah. I can imagine, but she's in a house full of people too. You know, people getting up, coming, moving, snoring, sounds.
Right.
So that makes sense. House or maybe, you know, the heat turns on, or it could be. I've found that earplugs lately are just magic for me. And the face mask.
I don't like the mask.
Too tight?
I don't like dead. I don't like, dead black.
Yeah.
I'm reaching. I can't see.
Like Sebastian Maniscalco says, I am like Helen Keller. Like, I am fine. No sight, no sounds. But it's not every night. And sometimes I need to.
Some people think Helen Keller was faking it.
She might have been.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay. So sleep.
All right. Number one, sleep.
And I just want to put one more thing about the sleep. For a lot of people, it's not even that they can't sleep, it's going to bed.
Who doesn't like to go to bed?
The revenge, they call it. Did you read about this?
I don't know what it is, but it's.
You don't like going to bed?
It's not that I don't like going to bed. It's being able to
have time.
It's like having ADD and not being able to get the task done. I can't. I know I'm tired.
Yes.
But to get from here to head on pillow sleeping most nights is a feat of the day.
For many people, it's like.
What?
Yes, it's bizarre.
There's a thing. It's
you have a thing.
It's a thing. There's a Chinese word that loosely, I don't know the word because I can't remember it. Yeah.
I will ask the manager at Gourmet.
It loosely translates to revenge sleep procrastination. And it's basically this concept that you don't go to bed or can't get yourself to bed.
Yes.
Because even though you're like exhausted.
Yes.
Because you just don't feel like maybe you had time for yourself enough in the day.
That's it.
And the dark, there's nobody, it's dark, it's quiet. Like people, other people in your house maybe are going to bed or at least pretending they're going to bed or yep. doing the same thing. And they're like, it's the only time of day that you have to yourself. And so like the, one of the keys, I'm with busy with hitting the mic.
Oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
One of the keys to that is to do some of the other stuff that we'll talk about around burnout in to combat this idea that you don't have any time for yourself. In the day, but
so basically, but,
yeah,
I can't
for me in these instances, yeah, and not to bring it back to me.
It's
just my only experience knowing that this is something that is a thing.
You have RSP,
yeah,
yeah.
What does it stand for again?
Revenge,
sleep procrastination. I like RSP.
Meredith, I have to create all of these sort of systems in order to get myself to go to that place. And I have to change it up. So now I'm in the process of changing up. I used to go downstairs at house and in my house and watch TV.
In your full clothes and makeup?
No, because I had to add to that. Nope, Meredith, you're going to put your pajamas on, wash your face, and start the process of unwinding in order to be able to get to sleep. Yeah. I mean, this is like, I thought it was a mental case. So I'm so happy to hear that.
No,
it's just RSP. It's fine.
Yeah, RSP. Yeah. And I would go downstairs and sometimes I would do laundry, but it was shutting the rest of the world out, just like Brooke would do with the sound machine, the earplugs, and the mask. Is shutting everything down to say, I need this time to regroup. But what was happening is, and I still do it, I need process to get out of something, but it's almost like I get awake for that second wind.
Yeah.
So I go downstairs and now I'm up until later than I want. So it's constantly having to create different protocols at night. Last night I was reading or, you know, if people are up and moving in my house, you want to be part of it,
right?
For the most part. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not like I don't have a household where all is quiet at 8:30 and it's just quiet. No, it's buzzing and moving and telling people to go to bed and telling people not to turn the TV on, whatever that may be, to try to create a framework to be able to unwind, decompress, not have questions.
What about if you tag team with your husband and say you're on board tonight?
Well, he has been doing it because I started many years ago just going downstairs. It was 8:00. I couldn't manage all day, all these shifts and bedtime routine. So that's why I would just go downstairs and say, you have bedtime routine. It's half hour, 40 minutes at the most. It's one-on-one time with the kids. You put them to bed and he was fine with it. But now that they get older, they put themselves to bed or don't. And you're like, but
you
regardless,
right.
It's a ramp up. All I can explain it as is not like I need to just lay down and go to bed because it's like a second wind. And so now you have to trick yourself into unwinding and shutting down and going into that unwind stage.
So this is not you obviously do not have RSP.
Oh, God, no. I can't jump into bed fast enough. Put on a movie, I'm out in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
The problem is I wake up. But I am, no, I love getting into my bed.
Reverse sleep procrastination.
Yeah. I have reverse.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, but your household is different, too.
Yeah, there's no one. It's just myself and my partner.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so sleep is number one.
The next two, I don't think there's an order, but one is like boundaries around your time. And I know we started talking about that.
You have no
earlier.
Boundaries.
I definitely have boundaries.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is keys, like it's particularly around time and having people, whether that's not being able to say no, this is another one, but it's part of the same thing, is being able to say no to people and to things. That's a huge one that a lot of people struggle with. And
love saying
and
no.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's
like saying goodbye. Goodbye is a good one too.
Like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like just, it's a one word, But it's very hard for a lot of people, and that's one of the quickest way to burn out is people pleasing and not saying no and not having boundaries. Yeah, I'll do one more thing. I'll do that for you.
I don't do that.
That's wonderful.
I'm out.
Yeah.
In fact, I put my phone on Do Not Disturb 10 p.m. to 7.
Amazing.
Yeah, because I'll still get family texts, you know, after 10, but I don't hear anything. And then when I wake up in the morning, I look at my phone to see what I missed.
Yeah.
I know.
But I think there's a lot of gray area for people, right? So I am a red, according to the book Surrounded by Idiots. I am very black and white, fact-based, remove emotion. Let's have a conversation. What's the need? What's your desire? Where do you want to be? Or what's the problem? Let's solve it. Here we need to be. And that can be difficult for some people to receive.
Yeah, right.
In communication, because some folks receiving that are very gray, and maybe they perceive questions like that as too hard or insulting, or I don't necessarily know, but I can see how boundaries become an issue for a lot of people.
Yes.
Where I think for Stephanie and I, particularly in our line of work, we're not divorce attorneys, but people could suck the life out of you. And not intentionally either, right? Just because their needs are so great at the time when we're working with them that you in order to survive this business, you have to be able to have some nice boundaries. Yeah. But I can see how difficult knowing personalities, those boundaries would be for people.
Have you had people like colleagues or people in your field that you've seen that just get kind of swallowed up by not having?
Well, we constantly fight it. We do.
Oh, you do?
Yourself? Oh, yeah. From time to time, it's hard not to obsess over some of the situations that we deal with. And by obsessing, we think that we're going to solve it. Right. And sometimes we do solve it by obsessing over it. But sometimes it takes a colleague, friend to say, you got to let this go.
Kind of like save each other out of the kind of similar to your
right. We have to say
the stuff.
No one's dying.
Nobody's dying.
Everyone's alive and healthy. Yeah, we're this not, too shall pass.
Right. Well, yeah. I think move don't you think that else. Anybody who truly cares about their job falls victim to that.
Yeah, right? I do. Yeah, of course.
And until you sort of gain some experience of just how horrible it feels to be totally consumed by something at work, then you learn how to try to create those boundaries. Okay, so boundaries. So we've got sleep, boundaries.
And then, I mean, a very common one is the two others that I always, is connection. Because it's real connection, like you guys have it. It seems like a wonderful that you have a group of friends that you formed as your in your business, and so this may be easier, but real connection, people just get so, you know, especially as they're not feeling good, a lot of people isolate and withdraw, and so speaking to a friend for even I read somewhere, I think in I forgot where I read it, but 7 minutes a day connect with someone. Obviously a lot more would be great, but 7 minutes, anybody can find 7 minutes of their day to call or speak to someone, actually hear their voice. You can text, but some real connection with people.
I've never heard of this. Folks,
I've confined.
I have a lot of friends who work from home.
Yes.
And so you're saying those that they're isolated and they need to connect with somebody.
Yes.
Other than work people.
Other than work people and just connect. It doesn't have to be a major conversation. Like some people, you know, they're on Zoom or on calls all day. They don't want to have another call, but it just, seven minutes of, it doesn't have to be on the phone either. If you if you're not living alone and you have it can be connection with your partner or your spouse or your kid. It can be anybody, but you know, maybe the hugs. I don't know if you are affectionate people or not, but connection, hugging like 20 seconds, a real like a hug. There's something about 20 seconds, which is weird. Most of the time you do like an A-frame hug. where your butt sticking out, pat on the bat, like 2 seconds. But there's some kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, gotcha.
But there's some kind of, I don't remember what it is, what the science is exactly, but there's something that happens with a full 20-second hug that is really like connecting and healing and helps prevent burnout as one amongst other things. So
I love it.
I love a hug.
I love a hug for my husband.
Yeah.
Like a hug for my husband. Hug. We hug a lot.
That's awesome.
You should.
Yeah. I hug my kids a lot too.
Yeah. You should.
I love a hug. But I don't want a hug from people that I don't want to hug from.
Yeah, you know.
In fact, quite averse. I'll stand there like this. Like, why are you? I don't want to hug you. It doesn't mean I don't like you, but I don't want to hug from you.
I will
you.
Be hugging you. You're my friend's the husband. Podcast.
Like, I don't want to hug
you. Yeah, there's some weird. don't. I'm not suggesting.
Meredith, is there something you want to talk about?
Yeah, I don't suggest any random hugs.
Sleep, boundaries,
connection. And then this is probably a very common thing for everything, but movement and exercise. It doesn't have to be major. It can be it can be a walk, but you have to move. There's like the hormones and dopamine and everything that gets from movement. It's even if you just, especially because so many of us are like, maybe not in your industry because you're out and about.
No, sometimes we sit a lot.
But there's a, you know, a lot of like.
Yeah.
Did I tell you I got a trampoline?
Yes.
What? Oh, a rebounder, like, they call it.
The exercise.
Yeah, you just, that's like, fun. Even, so if it's bad weather and I can't go for a walk, awesome. I can just.
Jump.
That's so fun.
I can just jump and it's good for your.
Do you like it?
I do. And I always feel better after I get off it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And they're small, so you can just fold them up and put them behind a couch.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, so I do suggest if you can't get out there to get a rebounder.
What do you do for exercise here?
I am a big walker. I walk almost every day.
How many miles?
Somewhere between 4 and 6.
That's a lot of miles.
Yeah, how long does it take you?
It takes about an hour and a half for six. I do about,
you walk fast.
14 and 15. Yeah, I'm like.
Because I walk 2.2 miles and it takes me 45 minutes.
Yeah, I walk very, I walk fast, purposefully.
Yeah.
But I love walking. We're big skiers. So
Merida.
Are you a skier?
Was, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. It gives me something to look forward to in the winter.
It's my happy place.
Yes,
I told
me
my
too.
Kids, if I die suddenly and you want to find me, go skiing. And that moment when you giggle because it's so much fun, then you'll be with me.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, Meredith. Yeah.
That is come up. That's beautiful. Very beautiful. Things.
Yes. Well, it's beautiful being outside, getting exercise in the winter. It's brisk. You feel alive.
Yes.
You feel alive when you're skiing.
Yes. I don't know. I want to be mindful of the time, but.
We have 2 minutes, Cherry. Two minutes. So make it fast.
On that beautiful skiing tip. We just went in February break to Italy and skied in the, and it was amazing. And I had a moment where I have three boys. Two are 11 and one is 9. So they're young boys.
Fun little,
yeah,
fun
they're
little
super
beings.
Fun.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to them, I just had a moment. We went on this, it was a beautiful day. We're in the Dolomites. It was like the longest trail in the Dolomites or one of them. And I just had this moment. I felt so connected to the universe. And
yeah, love that.
Like, whatever you call universe, God, whatever you want to call it. It was the most amazing. And I'm telling them, guys, I feel connected to God. Universe, they're like, yeah.
You'd be surprised. They'll remember. Those are the things when your parent imparts something like that, you remember.
They'll be like, remember when mom was skiing and she got connected to the universe? Yes.
Or they'll be like, we skied with mom in Italy. She just seemed so happy.
Yes, that's
she seemed happy.
All right, Adam. Sherry, we're done.
Adam has a meeting, so we have to go.
We go.
He's very busy today.
Adam said, you better be on time, and we're ending on time, and that's it.
Yeah.
So we can't dilly-dally, Sherry.
He didn't really say it like that, but.
Even if he did.
We love Adam and respect his time, so we just want to make sure that we're on it.
Of course.
Sherry, will you come back and talk to us again?
I would love to.
Because I feel like we've just touched the surface, And I'm excited to see where your business goes.
Thank you. Yeah.
Can you share with our listeners how they could contact you?
Yes. Hurry up. Not even 30 seconds. I'm getting nervous. You can find me at www.wellconnectconcierge.com or www.therapynewton.com.
Therapy Newton. Sherry Crowley. Therapy Newton.
Yay, and Sherry. You'll come back. We're going to do a recheck with you in a few months.
Sounds great. See how biz
is going.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.